Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of season 1 of CSS Nouveau for the Spicy Web. Design tokens from the ground up. Let's talk about CSS custom properties. They're also called CSS variables. Yeah, I know, it's confusing. There's a technical reason for this, isn't there always? But from here on, let's just call them variables because that's precisely what they are. They're changeable values you can insert into almost every place you would put an actual property value in CSS. The syntax is very simple. You define variables using names which begin with a double dash. Then you use the var function to reference those variables within style rules. Globally scoped variables are typically added to the root selector. So put it all together, and it looks like this. And here's a code example and a live demo of defining and using some CSS variables. Why they're so useful? Sure, you could write a selector like this, and it shows setting an h1 tag to font size 3rem. But what if down the line you have another tag where you want to use the same font size as an h1? Perhaps you write this, and it shows a figure with an isFancy class and a fig caption inside of that, also with a font size of 3rem. But then someone, you, comes along and decides headings look too big, so h1's font size gets changed to 2.5rem. Guess what? Now fig caption is stuck with the wrong font size. Grimace emoji. There have been build tools in the past to deal with this sort of thing, Sass being one of the most popular. But the awesome news is, we can do this now in pure CSS. Fun with variables. The first step in solving the above would be to define a typographic scale, aka a series of variables for font sizes you can reference anywhere in your code. So instead of the above, maybe you write this. And it shows a copy from OpenProps with a whole bunch of different font sizes, various rem values. And then it shows setting h1 and the figure.isFancy fig caption to the same variable. Aha! We've successfully utilized the principle of dry, don't repeat yourself, to avoid defining a particular size more than once. By assigning 3rem to font size 7, we can now use var font size 7 anywhere to pull in that value. We call a variable like this a design token. Design tokens can be anything you commonly use throughout your design system. Your theme, your layouts and page templates, your components, the works. Design tokens can encompass ideas such as fonts, colors, sizes and spacings, borders, shadows, transitions and animations, and so much more. Runtime evaluation for the win. Something very important you should know about CSS variables is that they are evaluated at runtime by the browser. This is in stark contrast to other build systems such as Sass variables or Tailwind theme configs. Because the browser resolves the variables at the time an element is rendered via the DOM, you can inspect them and even modify them directly in your browser's dev tools. And one fascinating bonus is that you can use a variable directly inside of a style attribute and can even redefine a variable directly inside its style. And here's a code example of doing just that. Or you can target specific elements and redefine their default tokens. It shows a page header class defining a CSS variable for header background. And then later on in some override style sheet, you could reopen the page header class and redefine the header background token. It's almost like you can build your own styling APIs now right out of vanilla CSS. Whoa! Mind-blown emoji. Aside, like many standard CSS properties, variables cascade through the tree where they're defined. So if you redefine a variable for one element, it will affect that element and its children, but not any siblings. Bear in mind, however, it's possible some child elements might reset certain variables back to the values defined in their style sheets, which in most cases is what you'd actually want because those are likely new component boundaries. And here's a live demo. Your style guide enshrined in code. So CSS variables are pretty rad, and you can use them to craft a set of design tokens you can then use throughout your style sheets and component libraries. They become extra super duper useful in the context of designing web components, because unlike many traditional styling techniques, variables pierce shadow roots, so components can easily consume site-wide design tokens. Aside, shadow roots being pierced by CSS variables? What on earth does any of that technobabble mean? Never fear, you'll learn all about it in episode 8. I should back up a step at this point. There's actually a conceptual issue with the above heading example. It doesn't necessarily solve the originally stated problem, which is that we want to be able to tweak the heading font size and affect both the actual H1 tag, as well as a particular fig caption. Even once we have our typographical scale set up, it's possible we'll want to tweak headings specifically, not change the scale. By changing the font size 7 design token, we affect everything across the system which references that font size, not just headings per se. I would argue the lowest level of design tokens should rarely be overridden by consumers. By changing something like border radius medium to something else, we lose the ability to reference that original token value ever again. Instead, we need a secondary level of tokens to override, a semantic layer. With our base set of tokens in place like font size 7, let's now start to build out a real style guide, a semantic design system, which we build on top of the base level. So instead of H1 directly referencing font size 7, we'll employ something more specific. Here's a code example where font size 7 is set to 3rem, but then another semantic token, heading size large, set to font size 7. And now in H1 and the figure.isfancy fig caption, they both reference heading size large. Wow, this is starting to look more like a real project. Now we have a heading-specific design token, which itself uses a generic font size token. Guess what? This lets us tweak the heading sizes in a straightforward and deterministic way. If we decide large headings are too large, we can simply change heading size large to font size 6, or even a totally custom font size if truly required. Components tokens as styling API. As you saw with the fancy figure example above, we can define and use any number of variables at the component level. Here's an example of a product listing. It shows a style sheet and some HTML for an example product. This is groovy. You no longer have random selectors and properties in a style sheet anymore. You are defining a styling API for a component. Any article.isProduct in your HTML will use specified styles by default, but you can override them in a variety of ways. Maybe in certain cases you want a bright orange button. Maybe on a certain page you want larger product titles. And it shows some examples there. What's even cooler is you can prototype and test these sorts of changes right in your browser. You can set product heading size to anything you want within your browser's dev tools and see the change reflected immediately. You simply can't do that with any other design system technology. That's the power of CSS variables when used to create your sophisticated style guide and design system. And here's a live demo showing some of those principles in action. Nice. But I don't want to invent all my design tokens. Can't I just import them? Yes. The great thing about modern CSS is there's an increasing number of design token collections out in the wild already. The two I'm most familiar with and like a great deal are OpenProps. The crazy thing about OpenProps is that it's not a framework or a design system or a build tool per se. It's literally a collection of variables. That's it. There are a few additional features available, like a normalized style sheet and button styling, but that's all entirely optional. Which means it's sort of a no-brainer to pull OpenProps into virtually any project. Sure, you can invent your own typographic scale and your own spacings for margin and padding and your color gradients and your own animation easings and, yeah, that's a lot of work, right? Or just grab OpenProps and save yourself the trouble. It works for me. Might work for you too. Shoelace. Shoelace is a fantastic project, which provides an excellent set of design tokens like a typographic scale and spacings and colors and whatnot, along with a ton of pre-built components like alerts and cards and dialogues and inputs and sliders and tabs. All free. All open source. all web components which can work with any tech stack. What's not to love? Throw your design tokens into a particle accelerator with Calc and Clamp. So you have a size token of 2 RAM and another of 3 RAM, but you really need 2.5 RAM to make this one part of the design just right. If you also have a 0.5 RAM token, you can add a dash of math and get just the right value. And it shows a calc function that's taking size 8 and subtracting size 2, and that will get that resolved value of 2.5 RAM. You can calculate all sorts of values to get new ones, and you can even get into negative numbers. For example, you could set a negative margin using the same variables. And it shows a calc function here starting with 0 RAM and then subtracting a size 4 variable. What about multiplication and division? Yep, once again you're covered. And this shows a calc function taking content padding and multiplying it by 3.5. Variables are also fun to use inside of Clamp. Clamp lets you set a starting minimum, a range, and a final maximum for a value. So for example, if you had an image you wanted to scale with the rest of the content but not go above or below a certain width, you could do, and here's an image tag that has a width that's set using Clamp. This says make the width 200 pixels, then go with 40% of the viewport width if it's higher than that, but don't go beyond 600 pixels. If we wanted to express this with variables instead, it's totally doable. Clamp works for typography, grids, and many other purposes. Combined with both calc and CSS variables, wow, what a powerhouse. And here's a live demo showing an image that is either smaller than its container or overflowing its container because it's really sizing to the width of the viewport, but there's a minimum and a maximum set, all with variables. Variant and responsive design tokens. One trick I like to do a lot these days is assign various style rules to semantic base tokens, then redefine them in variations or using media/container queries. It's quite powerful. Let's say you have a button with a few color variants. We'll use a data attribute to set variants, and instead of directly fiddling with background color across all the different variations, we'll just change our base token. And here's a live demo of doing just that. And the same principle can easily apply to media queries as well. Now, this may not seem like it gets you that big of a win for simple components, but for more advanced components where there are lots of nested child elements in the internal markup, you can just focus on your tokens and media queries instead of all the various selectors and DOM structure involved. Aside, another interesting feature of the var keyword is you can supply a fallback value for the variable in the case it's not actually defined. For example, var color orange, pound sign F96, would default to the F96 color if color orange isn't available. This opens the door for all kinds of interesting logic and hacks, but I must warn you, I've repeatedly run into foot guns when trying to use this feature. My advice is, unless you really know what you're doing, don't rely on fallbacks. Make sure the variables you use are set in the scope you expect before you use them. Wrapping up. Alright, so by now in your journey, you've learned all about how to reset, or not, your base HTML styles, how to structure your global style sheets, and how to work with design tokens. Now let's look at how you might apply principles from classless CSS themes, or just go grab one, to build out the basic layouts and templates of your web project. This concludes episode 4 of the first season of CSS Nouveau. Please move on to episode 5 to continue.